where we left off in the Simush, we just started the next sugya. It's really a continuation of Hilni Amalka, but it's a whole different angle. First, last sugya spoke about the Chinuch angle, now we speak more about the Hilni Amalka herself as being a woman. What in the world is she doing in the Sukkah? What she's doing in the Sukkah? Obviously, she's not Chayevus in Sukkah. Mitzvah she's man grama. Why should we be concerned that she's in the Sukkah? So, whether or not we should be concerned that she's in the Sukkah is a throwback to a sugya that appears in the Chazal. It's alluded to in other places, and that is the sugya of Nashim Semchas Rishos. Everybody agrees that women are not obligated to do smichas hakarbonos. The Gemara in Daf Pasuk, Bnei Yisrael Somchin v'lo Bnei Yisrael Somchos. So there's no question that smicha is not required for a woman. I mean smichas hakarbonos. Other smichas is a different story. But smichas hakarbonos is for sure not required for a woman. Whether they want to volunteer to do smicha, whether that's okay or not. So Rabbi Huda says that's a problem. Rabbi Huda says no, women can't volunteer to do smichas hakarbonos. Rabbi Yehuda says no. They're not chayavas, big deal. Nashim sem chasushos. It's okay. They want to volunteer. That would be okay. That would be fine. So what exactly is the issue? Why is Rabbi Huda hesitating? Why is Rabbi Huda preventing women from doing smichas? So Rashi in different places writes nuances of different ways, but it's all the same basic idea. Namely, there's an issue about Tosif. In one place Rashi writes it's Baltoisif Mamish. Sounds like it's Mamish Adair Aisa. In one place Rashi writes it's Mechsek about Toysif. It looks, smacks a little bit of Baltoisif. So Toysif says an issue with Rashi. Toysif says if it's really Baltoisif, according to Rabbi Huda, anytime a woman volunteers to do something she's not obligated to do, so then what's going on in our sugya? Here in Hilni Amalka's case, it's Rabbi Huda, the Tana Rabbi Huda reporting that she was sitting in the sukkah, and that's okay. Rabbi Huda had no qualms and no problems with the fact that she's sitting in the sukkah. How could that be? According to Rashi, there's some real bona fide, they're abundant type of Toysif, that should pose a problem. So Toysif goes on to show you that the issue of women doing smichas is a different issue. It's not really about Toysif, and it has no relevance whatsoever to Sukkah. But we're still within the world view of Rashi, and Toysif actually tried to defend Rashi. So let's see if we can get a better understanding of what Rashi's talking about. Rashi claims that there's some kind of either the Raisa, the Rabbanan involved in women volunteering to do mitzvahs, and therefore women can't volunteer smicha, and presumably they couldn't volunteer to sit in the sukkah, and they can't volunteer to put on film, they can't volunteer to put on tzitzis, couldn't volunteer to do a half dozen other things, blow shofar. Anytime a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah she's pura from, we run into potential obstacle of Baal Tais, at least according to Rabbi Huda. I didn't say we follow Rabbi Huda yet, but at least according to the world of Rabbi Huda, we have a potential problem.
Can that apply to men also for something?
According to this, anytime anybody volunteers to do any mitzvah to pot from, it would be a potential issue of Baltoisif 100%. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, does this make sense to us in terms of Baltoisif? Is this really an accurate application, correct application of Baltoisif? We have to take a couple of steps back to understand and appreciate where Rashi is coming from. And again, we don't know the answer yet to the Sukkah dilemma, but just forgetting about Agumar for a minute, just the very notion that doing a mitzvah that you're potter from, should that smack about Toysif at all? So that needs a little bit of an understanding. So we have to familiarize ourselves a little bit with what the parameters about Toysif are and aren't. So what is classic about Toysif? What's the absolute classic example about Toysif? We all know. We quote from the Sifrei. What are some good examples, some classic examples about Toysif? Five minimum alulav. That's pretty Baltoisif-ish to me. What are some other examples? So putting extra strings into the tzitzit. That sounds like it's a great application about Toysif. You have to share something. It's not true, but okay, we'll take that. We'll take it on faith also. I was expecting the most common example. Oh, extra pater, extra parshas, and the tefillah. Those are real books. So what's the common denominator between these three cases that all appear to some degree in the Gemara and in the Tanoim? So you have Hey Minim, you have Hey Batim, the tefillin, and you guys said extra strings on the tzitzis. So I'm a little weary about the extra strings on the tzitzis. I'll tell you why. Because the extra strings on the tzitzis are just extra of the same thing. Hey Minim is I'm adding on a tulip. Hey Batim, I'm adding on a whole nother parsha. I'm adding on something different. But the extra strings on the tzitzis, what am I doing? I'm just repeating the same thing. I'm just adding on more of the same. What's probably a good example by tzitzis, a really, really parallel example of tzitzis would be if I have four strings, and what do I add on? A fifth what?
Different color.
I wouldn't say much a different color. I'd say I add on something like Amri different, not a tzitzis string. I add on a different kind of a string. I add on a different, something like a different parsha. If I just keep on adding on the same strings, so that may be tantamount to almost like taking extra hadassim or extra rabbis. I'm not so sure That's called Bapraisa. So the strings, is, we're going to leave the strings out because that's a little bit complicated. There's actually Machlekes and Rishonim. Adding on extra strings in the Tzitzis is really bona fide, you know, parallel case of Bapraisa. It was a Shaila. Halach Lamais, anyone know where? Where do we have to pass in the Shaila? To Machlekes, Rishonim, Machlekes Tzitzis, Balit, others. The Shulchan Aruch and the Grot. It's very complicated in Nuchat Tzitzis, but just adding on more strings is considered to be a Shaila Bapraisa. No one remembers? We didn't speak about this? The Shaila had to be determined in Chispin. Anyone was with us that summer? Who's with us that summer in Chispin? Right, okay, remember the Shaila? Okay, the Shaila, Maestro Akachoya, in the summer of the war in Gaza a couple of years ago, so we were exiled up to the north. We were up in Chispin, and we got an important, frantic message that they needed pairs of tzitzis on the front in Gaza. They wanted that all the soldiers should have a pair of tzitzis. They had to be made very, very special, because the army insisted that they be green begodim for camouflage purposes. So we had a green begodim with white strings, which was a whole shayla about that. But fine, so we were making tzitzim, and hundreds of tzitzim, and sent them off to the front. So the problem was that I got a message that one of the boys who were making the tzitzis didn't know that they're supposed to be four strings. Somehow he thought they're supposed to be five strings. And he got lost in the shuffle. So he made a pair of tzitzis, which were five strings, which were bent over now to become 10 strings. And they were ready way, they were sent, they're ready in the middle of Gaza. So the shaila was to recall the tzitzis. Should we send out a big kol kevri tzitzal that they have to go look for the pair of tzitzis that were made with five strings? So I said that it's a machlekes harishonim, and the Gra Mikra din, the Bria Gra's Mikra din make a hilchos tzitzis. So that's not a violation of Baltaisis, so the tzitzis would still be kosher. So I thought that Kedai the Gra to be semichal on b'shas achat, if you rely on the Vodagon Shita, it's not considered to be Baltaisis. There's probably some soldier somewhere who probably was looking at that, which Amharis made these five strings. Some interest my kid made the five strings. We were also making on something else. We were making to make the tzitzis at night. Some achrayim have a chumra that we shouldn't make tzitzis at night. Shalav tasav lom also, because since at night is potter from the tzitzis, so somehow argue that maybe that's when you make the tzitzis at night, it's not really chal on an Hashem tzitzis. And then when it gets light the next morning, so then all of a sudden the tzitzis are coming into existence. So they're coming into existence. Me'atzvam, maybe it's a shalav tasav lom also. So strange chumra from such a. It's not palatik yuchum on many, many levels. The Prima Gadim says the whole thing is a joke. You think that it's no problem with Tassel and Osli. That's not called Tassel and Osli. And then there's another Tzad Lahokel, because the other Tzad Lahokel is that according to the opinion of the Rosh and Rabbi Tam, Yechayim Tzitz at night. As long as it's a Begel Chol Yom, Yechayim Tzitz at night. It's only according to the Rambam who says the Yepotim Tzitz Belayla that it comes out even a Chashash, even a remote Chashash of Tassel and Osli. So we pass the Iker din is that you can make this in that also, but there are some machmer on this. So here, when the strings came to us, the gun came to us in the middle of the night, and the guy had to bring them back to Gaza within the next few hours, so we didn't even have time to wait till the morning. So we had 300 NCSY kids, which were making up this really, really quickly. So I said we can pass in makom shas b'chamo yesh lahokol that like the Iker din. So it had to be made like that. I had the same shayla that came up last week. The same shayla last week. I had a pair of tzitzis, a regular pair of tzitzis. So about 2 weeks ago, so one of the strings got caught in something and it ripped. So it was really kosher the way it was anyway. It still had the shiur, the neve, whatever it was, the tzitzis kosher the way it was. But it didn't look so nice, and I was also a little bit, you know, nervous. If another one will rip, then the whole tzitzis will become possible. So I wanted to fix the tzitzis. So the embassy had another pair of tzitzis also. So I was wearing for a couple of days, I was wearing the other pair of tzitzis. The only problem is the other pair of tzitzis, the beged with it stretched out a little bit, that it would like fall onto my, it was very uncomfortable. I had a feeling that during dancing at the weddings, I thought it was going to become a big balagan, so I wanted to get my regular pair made. But between you and me, I didn't have 2 minutes to even begin to make a pair of tzitzis. So what I did was, I figured maybe I have a few minutes to. I didn't have to fix the whole baguette over again. I just had to fix that one string that didn't look nice. So last Sunday, so at as the women were getting ready for the weddings, I had about 20 minutes or so free time. So I took a pair of scissors, and even though the Mishnah Berurah says you're not supposed to rip the tzitzis, you're supposed to undo them, that's only because it's like baltashkes, because you're going to use them when someone else is going to use the strings over again. So I took a pair of scissors, and I cut off the. Not the bad strings, but the ones that were, basically, whatever, they're basically okay anyway. So I cut them off, and I quickly made made the first set. Mid-Torah, all you have to have is a couple of knots and a couple of wraparounds and a couple of strings, and then you're showing it, then it's the kosher Mid-Torah. So I did that quickly, and so the kids were kosher the way they were, and I gave them to Mary Yachav, my oldest son. I said, let's do me a favor, while everyone else is taking pictures and drinks and haram, finish making the tzitzis for me, so that should be kosher l'chadchila. So I had a pair of tzitzis that were kosher l'chadchila. By the time it was the wedding started, so I was able to switch begadim, so I already had a nice pair of tzitzis that was kosher l'chadchila. The only problem is that they didn't look so nice, because one set of strings was new, and the other ones were really yellow. So I thought, that doesn't look so nice. And I had the strings anyway, so I told Mary Yachav, okay, afterwards. So I like the chadchila to make my own strings. So there's a hiddur, we spoke about it, there's an etziv, the chadchila to make your own strings. But I figured that the chadchila is only necessary on the real deraisa, the part that's really ma'akiv, the rest, who cares? So what I did was, is that after... that was one day when we were driving to Brachas, so it was still maybe old Yom, so I ripped off the rest of the strings, and I quickly made the rest of them that they should be chayav. I was wearing them, I can't do that. So I had the other pair I was wearing, so I quickly made the rest, they should all be kosher min ha-Torah. So I finished that before Shkia. Remember, Shkia was like 7:07, it was like 7:03, I was still trying off the last ones, so that way at least I had the tzitzis were kosher, l'chadchila sh'l'chadchila. So I gave Mary Yaakov, if the Sherbach was over, I told him that when he has a few minutes the next day, when he's coming back in the van, coming back for Shabbos, he should fix up and finish up the rest of the tzitzis. So I didn't mention him not to do it at night. I just told him to do it the next day. He didn't understand what I meant. But they were kosher anyway the way they were. So then he told me that he took care of it late that night. He finished up the rest of the tzitzis. So they were kosher anyway, because they were all the original strings were made. So I went and drank my cup. These tzitzis were made. They were made min haTorah. They were done b'biyod yom, and all the hidurim, mishnayis ma'akev midrabbanan. All the hidurim were all done at night. So hidurim derabbanan yesh lahalcha like the prim gadim. That's the ikra din. So thus, I am wearing a pair of tzitzis that was made in a very lumdish way. That the din, the ikra din, they were all made b'biyod yom, and all the hidurim were made b'alayla. And Shalom Yisrael, and I am not undoing them now to remake them. They're totally kosher. I think lechatchila shel lechatchila. Shalom Yisrael. Anyway, just figured I'd chill and do that. It's a saga. Okay. Yeah. 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 We're gonna get there in a second. So why are we talking about this? Because we're talking about Baal Tosef. So Rashi says that there's a chashash of Baal Tosef when a woman volunteers to do a mitzvah. So this is not exactly the Baal Tosef that we're used to. These cases of the Heminim, the Hebatim, this is what we call a Shinui in the Chefza. This is the Hosafa in the Chefza Shal Mitzvah. The Torah gives us a certain Tzura of what Tefillin look like, and I go ahead and I add on more. The Torah gives us a Tzura of what Dal HaMinim look like, and I go ahead and I add on more. So this is classic Baal Tosef. Rashi is a whole different ballgame. In Rashi's case, there's no shini in the tzuras hachefza. There's a gavra who's not chayv in the mitzvah, who's volunteering to do that mitzvah. But whenever you have a... Who says that's called Baal Tosef altogether? So Rashi is a big, big jump. It's a huge leap of faith from the Baal Tosef that Chazal would describe it. Do we have any other kinds of Baal Tosef that are a little bit more in sync with Rashi's description of Baal Tosef? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah where the Gemara says that if a person eats in the sukkah, sleeps in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael, you have to, but in Eretz Yisrael, if a person eats or sleeps in the sukkah, so that's called Baal Tosef. Why is it called Baal Tosef? That's not a change in the Cheftza, the sukkah is the same. So a Korchik is in the Gemara that a Shini in the Zman HaMitzvah is also called Baal Tosef. If you go ahead and you add on to the Maisa Mitzvah, even though the Cheftza is identical, it's the same sukkah, but the fact that I'm being mishana, I'm changing in the Zman HaMitzvah, that's also considered to be a shtickel of Baal Tosef. So this is also called Baal Tosef. When you have a shinoi bizman, you have a hosafa really bizman. So these are examples of a hosafa bechefza. This is Baal Tosef. And you have a shinoi bizman, hosafa bizman, that's also called Baal Tosef. That's sukkah bishmini. But we still haven't gone to Rashi yet. In Rashi's case, there's neither a Baal Tosef in the Chetzer, nor is it Baal Tosef in the Zman. There's a Baal Tosef almost in the Gavra. Is that also called Baal Tosef? So the Ramban in Parshas Baschanan has a comment that he thinks that there's a third kind of Baltoisef. Not only is there Baltoisef, the Cheftzina is Baltoisef Bisman, but there's a Baltoisef if you make up a new mitzvah Yesh Mehayim. Let's say a guy decides that he's going to make up a 614th mitzvah. So the Ramban writes, that's an Issa Deraisa of Baltoisef. That's how the Ramban learns Pshat, when the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yudalet, that Chazal were very, very nervous in the days of Purim to institute the day of Purim, because they thought that that smacks a little bit of what? A little bit of Baal Teisa. They thought that was a little bit of a house safa. So they were nervous, they were concerned to add on the Yom Tov of Purim, and eventually they figured out that it was okay. Why was it okay? So we spoke about this Ramban many times. It was okay because they came to the realization that it wasn't really a house safa. It was just a pre-existing mitzvah min haTorah to be b'shabach to ben shalom for Nisim. So since there's a din of az yoshim moishah, there's a din of celebrating Nisim, when they instituted the Purim, that was just an extension of that pre-existing din min haTorah. It wasn't considered to be hal safa. Or the Rashba in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah writes that it wasn't hal safa because it was done by Beis and Hagodol, and hal safa only applies when it's done by Yechidim. So there are different reasons why that happened not to fall into a problem of being b'al tosif. But b'ikaron, the Ramban writes, that any time you add on a new mitzvah, that's also potentially Baal Teisef. So we have three types of Baal Teisef. There's Baal Teisef the Chavtze, there's Baal Teisef is man, and then there's Baal Teisef Baal Safas Mitzvah Chadosha. Again, that's based on Ramban and Pashas Veschan. So Rashi is none of this. Rashi is a fourth kind of Baal Teisef. Rashi is, there's no change in the Chavtze, no change in the Zman, no mitzvah chadasha. I'm taking a pre-existing mitzvah that's being done in the identical way, being done in the identical time, but it's being done by a gavra who is not mechayev, who is not mechuyev in that mitzvah. And Rashi says, thus is Baal Teisef. So now you can begin to understand where Rashi is a chiddush, a gabi chiddush, a gabi chiddush. So Teisef takes issue with this Rashi. Teisef says it's not true. There is no such Baal Teisef under these circumstances. And fakir, Rashi himself takes issue with Rashi, because Rashi in one place writes, it's not really about Taisif Deraisa, it's only a Nir, it's a Dirabon, it's a Mechzeh Kibal Taisif. So Rashi himself is not even sure that this fourth type of Baal Taisif, which is a Hosafa Begavra, is this really truly Baal Taisif or not? So it's a Chiddush of Rashi. Again, we're not sure whether this is correct or not. Rashi himself is not even sure that he's right. But a Koponim, Taisus jumps against Rashi. Taisus says, it can't be if Rashi's right, if there's some kind of Al-Taisif, the Rais, the Rabbanan, what's going on in the story of Hilni Amalka? So Taisus offers two suggestions how to get around the Hilni Amalka saga. So Taisus writes, if you take a look at the fifth of the Marmakonis, so Taisus, I think, picked it up in the third line. So ain nirlevi. So Taisus says the whole Rashi's pshat is not right. The Harab Yehuda leislei nashim semchis rishus, that Rabbi Yehuda denies the permissibility of women to do smicha. V'yavah b'chem v'shamin lei prakam v'desuka. The Omer Hilni Amalka he says shavus besuka. V'zayim b'neil. The Hilni Amalka and her children were permitted to eat in the suka. U'mir yesh liyashiv. The mishum b'neil he says yeshavus. Taisus writes that maybe the reason why it was okay for Hilni Amalka to sit in the sukkah was she was sitting there because of who? Because of her sons. And therefore did Baal Teisef. That's Taisus' first suggestion. So we're trying to figure out why is, maybe Rashi's right, that Hosafa Begavra is a Hosafa, but maybe the hat there in these cases is because it's Yashva Mishum Baneha and Lo Mechse Kibal Taisus. The Eidia Shalemah says Taisus. Taisus suggests another reason. Inami. Mishum Dishamin and Leila Rava, the Aperk of Ru Bezin, I'm sorry. The Lava Shaloi Bizmano by Kavana. Ulagabi Ishat Lo Mechai Vavaki Shaloi Bizmano. The Kevin Lo Mechavni Lo Abra. Says Taisus, according to Gemara Rosh Hashanah, you don't always violate Baal Teisef. Not every Hosof is called Hosof. You only violate Baal Teisef when you're still within the Zman HaMitzvah. When it's Shaykh to do the mitzvah now, and you do it in a Hosofetic way, that's called Baal Teisef. But if you do it shaloi bizmano, then it gets very tricky, the Gemara says. If you have in mind to be Moisif, then you're over Baltosif. But if it's shaloi bizmano and you're not really doing a derech hosofa, so that's not considered to be Baltosif. That's so far removed from the mitzvah. Baltosif is that I'm changing the mitzvah, I'm being Moisif in the mitzvah when my hosofa relates to the mitzvah. When the hosofa is part of the mitzvah being done in an inappropriate manner, that's called Baltosif. But if it's shaloi bizmano and no kavana, so that's not called hosofa altogether. So Tosafot suggests that maybe, even though it's not shaloi bizmano, it's the first day of Sukkot, but maybe from the women's vantage point, that's called, in a sense, shaloi bizmano. Because Sukkot, the mitzvah of Sukkot, by definition, for a woman is shaloi bizmano. And clearly she's not having in mind to be mitzvah. If her goal was to sit with her children in the Sukkot, so Tosafot writes that maybe a heter number two would be, not that it's Yashva Mishubana and Devil Mechsik about Tosif, but rather Apidin it's considered to be Shaloi Bizmanoi and Ein Kavana, and therefore Ein Bal Tosif. So those are the two suggestions to defend Rashi. Again, at the end of the day, Tosif thinks Rashi's trial is not right. Tosif thinks the whole Bal Tosif is not correct, but Tosif is willing to give Rashi the benefit of the doubt. One of these two approaches perhaps gets out of Rashi. Who's going to tell me? Who's going to help me? Why does Tosis need both of these approaches? What's the pshat in these two approaches? What's the difference between these two approaches? How come one answer Tosis is focusing more on the mechzik about Tosif, and the second Tosis is focusing a little bit more on some lumdisha halachic category of shaloi bizmano? What's the difference between the two answers? Well, l'chora, these two answers are addressing the two points of Rashi. That if Rashi, the one side in Rashi that was focusing on, it's a mechzik about those, it's a derabanan think about Tosif. So then l'chora, if the problem is a problem with the derabanan, then the solution has to only be what? A solution with the derabanan. There's no need to give a grandiose lumdisha teretz. As long as we solve the mechzik, it doesn't look so big. It doesn't look like such a shtuk amar sign. Doesn't resemble a hosafa. As long as it doesn't resemble a fiyeinenu, a hosafa, then it's going to be all right. So the chora, the first approach of Tosfos, is very, very limited. It's addressing a low-level type of a problem. Once you raise the ante and tell me that there's a much more significant problem on your hands, there's a much more difficult issue here, namely that is about Tosef, Chashash, about Tosef, Deraisa, just to tell me it doesn't look so bad, it's not going to solve a Deraisa, it's a problem, you have to go up with the Halachic Hagdor. So Tosef proceeded to tell me what the Halachic Hagdor is. The Halachic Hagdor is that it's Shaloi Bizmano, and there's no Kavana, and you put those two things together, and hocus pocus, that's not cool about Tosef. So the reason why Tosef is presenting almost two different approaches is because they're defending Rashi, and Rashi himself presented two different approaches to two different places. So it's interesting, this second teretz of Tosis is taken right out of the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara actually fine-tunes a little bit what's called the Zman HaMitzvah, it's not called the Zman HaMitzvah. Once you tell me there's a new category here called Shaloi Bizmano without Kavana is not about Tosif, so you have to just fine-tune what exactly is called the Zman HaMitzvah, it's not called the Zman HaMitzvah. Anyone know the Gemara has a big, big chiddush about what's called the Zman HaMitzvah? I know which mitzvah I'm talking about, someone said it before. Who said Birchas Kohanim? The Gemara has the following din in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaf Ches Amud Beis. Let's say a kohen gets up and he says Yivarech Shalom, and he finishes Birchas Kohanim, and then he says, you know, that wasn't enough. It was just, you know, very dry bracha. Let me add on a little bit. Hashem Elokev Oseichem Yosef Alechem Chemel Yivarech Eschem Kasheh Dibe Alechem. And then he does another nigun and he sits down. The Gemara says that's the Nisa Deraisa about Tosif. The Torah said you give three brachas, and he went in and added his fourth bracha. That's like taking a rose or a tulip in your Aminim. That's like adding on a bias and shit to the tefillin. So the Gemara says that's also in the Torah. So the Gemara says, the Kasha, no. Who's going to tell me the Kasha? Isn't that called what? Isn't that called Shaloi Bizmano? The guy doesn't mean to be Mechavein, to be Moisif. Isn't that called Shaloi Bizmano? Because he finished the mitzvah already. Once the mitzvah is over, isn't that called Shaloi Bizmano? Who remembers what the Gemara answers? I don't remember? It's still this man. Why is it this man? I did the mitzvah. If another shul comes and knocks on his door and says, please, we need a kohen, come and give us a bracha, he has to go and help them. So So it's still considered to be the Zman HaMitzvah. So even though he's not mechuyev to go run around to Duchen, once he Duchen once, he was Yaitzeh, his Mitzvah Deraisa, but it's still called the Zman HaMitzvah. So Kol Zman is still called the Zman HaMitzvah. He can be violated al Toysi even without Kavanah. That's again a Chiddush. Within, this is a Din Deraisa, Shalob Zman in Kavanah, in Bal Toysef, this is a Din Minat Torah. And Tosis is invoking that category and comparing it to women are considered to be halachli shalob bizmanoi. And the Gemara itself has nuances that the parameters of shalob bizmano are a little bit tricky. That duchening would have resembled shalob bizmano. Kamash blood is still considered to be zmano. Who knows the famous chumra based on this Gemara? Who remembers? We spoke about this in the past. Once you tell me that duchening the whole day is called shalob bizmano, and it's called bizmano, and therefore you're over even without kavana, who remembers the funny chumra? No one remembers funny chumras? When the kohen comes down from duchen, what does everybody always wish the kohen? Shkoyach. And what does the kohen respond? Baruch tiyah. So some are running right. That's an issa deraisa of Bal Tosef. Which is meisef abrocha me'atzmo. What do you think about that? Right, that's right. You shouldn't say shkoyach to the kohen. That's right. All my Kabbalah and Shul know I never wish him a Shkoyach when they finish Duchening. All the guests are insulted. They think the rabbi is not a friendly person. But all my regular Kabbalah know that. Some have another Kabbalah not to wish a Shkoyach because it's a Shkoyach. You usually give a Shkoyach to somebody when they did something that they, they weren't really obligated to do. They went ahead and they went the extra mile. They did say, Shkoyach, a Kabbalah Kedrash, a Shkoyach. You got up and you said, you're a beautiful Haftorah. Go here. And I see a guy putting on tefillin in the morning. So, shkoyach for putting on tefillin. Shkoyach for eating matzah, gewaldig. I should wish everybody shkoyach after the kiyah shofar. Walk around to everybody, shkoyach for hearing the shofar. Maybe shkoyach, the guy does what he's supposed to do. Give me a shkoyach. So, some achrayim didn't like the fact he said shkoyach to the kohen. He did what the Rebbeinu Shlom told him. Every day he say kriyash, my friend gives everyone his shkoyach, putting on tzitzis. But it's a joke. So, some achrayim didn't like that. But other achrayim say that, no, you shouldn't say shkoyach because you're being machshlim, lifting even deraisa. You're being machshlim and violating Bal Tosef, because that's still called as Zman HaMitzvah. So other achrayim say that that's not really true. That's not called Bal Tosef. Chalom Shalitzonis. He said the kohen doesn't have his hands, but he sees his kapayim. A lot of reasons why it's not final place. But anyway, getting back to the story. So, Rashi introduced Bal Tosef here. We have to appreciate what a chiddush Bal Tosef it is, because it's not the Bal Tosef of Chazal. It's not the Bal Tosef even of the Ramban. It's a newfangled Bal Tosef that Rashi himself is not even sure really exists. Tosef said it's against that Gemara, and then Tosef found for no, it's not against that Gemara for one of two reasons, against for the one or two objections of Rashi of Tosef. But when all the dust settles, Tosef doesn't really believe that Rashi is correct. In the heart and heart, the heart of soul, the Balei Tosef believe that Tosef was the wrong sugya here. The correct sugya that we should be learning, says Tosef, is something very unique about these mitzvahs that Chazal is singling out, and it has no application outside of these mitzvahs. What are the mitzvahs that I'm talking about? Post in the shop. Okay. Okay. That against the paper in the hotel. So says Taisus, the whole Bal Taisus was not correct. So what are the problems? What are the issues? What are the mitzvahs that women are not allowed to volunteer? Got it? Okay, goodbye. Okay. Clear up. Well, you can erase the whole thing. Does it work?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Well, that's a sheer assistant. Give him a raise. Okay. At this point, I'm too tired to erase the words. Ridiculous. That's that. I was giving the service before Slichas. So I was talking about Kumi Reni Balaila. I have to get up and you have to wake up. I forget about the Oilam was sleeping. I was sleeping as I was talking. Okay. Good. Okay. Shkach. Thank you. Right, anyway, get back to the story. So Tosef says the whole thing is not right. There are only two mitzvahs, at least for now, that Tosef has objections with women doing. What are the two mitzvahs? What are the two cases in the Gemara? Tefillin, I say. Tefillin. Not yet. We're getting tefillin. What are the two cases? Nashim what? Smicha. What was the other one? Shofar. Those are the two that appear in Masechet Hashanah. Smicha and Shofar. So Rashi says it's Bal Tosef deraisa, Bal Tosef derabanan. Something. Tosef says nish Bal Tosef deraisa, nish Bal Tosef derabanan. There are two unique problems that have nothing to do with other mitzvahs. Therefore, we recommend women not do these mitzvahs according to Rabbi Yehuda. What are the problems? Well, who remembers? What's the problem with smicha? What's the problem with smicha? So comes Tosef and says, Taisa says, Mishum de Mechse Kemevia. No, I'm sorry, that was a little red. I'm sorry, wrong one. Avoid the Bekotchim. Says, when you do smicha on an animal, so you lean on the animal, you support, you weight on the animal, boom, and this is the rice, not to work an animal, not lean on an animal, support yourself on an animal. And even though truth to be told, says Taisus, yeah, you don't have to tell the women to do mamashas, ah, smicha, let them just put their hands on me, a little symbolic. It doesn't look right. It looks upside a shtickle, inappropriate, and it's a mechzik yavayde bekotchim. So Taisus says, unlike Rashi's shot of the rice and the Rabbanu Bal Taisif, nah, there's a technical problem of Mechzei Kevayde Bekotchim. And what's the terrible problem with blowing shofar? What's the issue of blowing? What's the din prati of blowing shofar? What? Mishum the Tkiya Malacha de Rabbanani. Because Tkiya Shofar is not something that we would like to do. If it wouldn't be Rosh Hashanah, we wouldn't pick up a shofar on the first day Sukkot to start blowing. That's an Isser. It's not an Isser D'Araisa. It's a Chachma V'Yena Malacha. It's an Isser D'Rabbanan. The Gemara has a Havamin at the beginning of the fourth parak of Masechet Rosh Hashanah that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar even mid-Araisa. There's a potential Shita. The Gemara says that it says in the Chumash in one place Yom Tru Yalachem, another place it says Zichru and Tru Mikra Kodesh. What's the difference between Yom Tru and Zichru? And Yom Tru means your mamish blows, Zichru means you just talk about blowing, you don't really do it. So the Gemara says, Kan b'chol, kan b'shabbat. The Gemara says, what? You're going to tell me that's awesome and I've heard about shofar and shabbat? Doesn't make any sense. Which is the lama test malacha does that? You didn't blow shofar and fill the Mishkan. It's not a malacha. All it is an Issa d'Rabbanan. So the whole blowing of shofar is only an Issa d'Rabbanan. How could the Torah say Zichru and Tru are referring to Shabbos? So the Gemara says, you're right, that we made a mistake. That min haTorah yitachad do blow shofar and Shabbos. Zichru and Yom is the same thing. And the only reason why we don't blow shofar and Shabbos is a gzeirim with the Rabban, you may come to carry the shofar. But meikra din min haTorah, avad and avad, you blow shofar and Shabbos. So that's the Gemara says, the Feirish, that blowing shofar on Yom Tif, the worst it is a d'Rabbanan. That's all it is. No more than being an Issa d'Rabbanan. On Sukkot, Taka shouldn't blow shofar. On Pesach, Shavuos, Taka shouldn't blow shofar. But on Rosh Hashanah, they obviously lifted that Issa d'Rabbanan, and they said, it's okay, it's no problem, you're allowed to blow shofar, because that's the mitzvah Torah to blow shofar. In addition to that Issa general, Issa d'Rabbanan of blowing shofar, as a chochma of Yenim Alocha, it should be also for another reason. What's the other reason? We shouldn't really be blowing shofar on Yom Tov. Why? You're not allowed to play the piano on Yom Tov, play the drums on Yom Tov. Why? It's a gzeir mishum makom patish. It's a gzeir mishmiya kol. You're not allowed to stand play musical instruments on a Shabbos and Yom Tov. So they really should have asked blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah as a gzeir of mashmiya kol. So they lifted that gzeir also. Why did they lift that gzeir? Because otherwise you would never blow shofar. So therefore Chazal did away with all the potentially assumed rabbanon that should have bent it, should have tied our hands from blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. They let us do it anyway. Sukkot, there's no need to blow shofar. So you talk about that. Pesach, Shavuot, there's no need to blow shofar. Shmini Atzeret, so you're not allowed to blow shofar on Yom Tov. But on Rosh Hashanah, they did away with all these Surim D'Rabbanan. So there is a machlokes apoiskim. When we say that they did away with all these Surim D'Rabbanan on Rosh Hashanah, the otherwise Surim D'Rabbanan, that means they did away with them with Gamre, that there's a green light to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Anytime you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you are not in violation of those Surim D'Rabbanan. Or do we say no? They lifted those Yisurim D'Rabbanan for the mitzvah Tkiya Shofar. But once you're done with the mitzvah, then your Taka shouldn't be blowing. Then those problems in D'Rabbanan come back to life. That's a big machlokes apoiskim. The Taz is Meiklin. The Taz writes in Rosh Hashanah that the Yisur D'Rabbanan, all the Yisurim D'Rabbanan, the Chachma, the Mashmir, Gzeir, Shema, Yisan, Klashir, all the Yisurim D'Rabbanan that would normally be included in Tkiya Shofar were lifted, were removed on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you want to blow Shofar 1,000 times over in Rosh Hashanah for no reason whatsoever, that's perfectly okay. There's no Issa D'Rabbanan Bechlal to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. And not everyone agrees. Other Rechamim say it's not true. The Minhag HaOlam seems, we seem to be making in the Shaila. How do I know that we seem to be making in the Shaila? Yeah, for Voiv Nechumus. What do we blow? We blow for a woman. Okay, so that we assume that that's considered to be Salam. So Kiyumus, we'll get to that as we go on. But what do we blow in Rosh Hashanah? Is the Minhag Yisrael to blow, huh? You blow 100 kilos. Where that come from? Beit Kiyah, Beit Koilus. It's not a dim in Atari, it's not a dim in the Rabban, it doesn't appear in the Gemara, it's from the Rishayim, from the Oinim. This is it's a much, 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 much later edition of blowing 100 kilos. Because Aim Sisra, if you held that there's a real list of the Rabban of blowing on Rosh Hashanah, how in the world could we be mad to this for these seemingly superfluous, strange Minhagim? We don't even understand this 100 kilos story. So l'chora, we seem to be knowing like the Taz. So other Achranim are not so happy with that. Achranim write that, no, that's something. Whatever's the minig Yisroel, whatever's l'tzarech, so that was lifted. There's no tzarech whatsoever. Guy Stam wants to blow, so that's a problem. So that's what, in the later generations, so there are certain people like to blow different kind of chumras and kunstim after davening to get, you know, these kinds of shvam, those kinds of shvam, these truths, these tekiyas, every different possibilities to cover yourself in all a million different bases as to what the proper kailos are. So the question is, are those correct or not? Should we be doing those kinds of things? So if you hold like the Taz, then that's okay. If you hold like the Taz and there's no way to sit there, but you can blow, till you lose your breath, till you run out of steam. It's not a problem. But if you hold like those Achrim against the Taz, if there's an Issa Derabbanan, so it's very nice. You want to be on Briska Chumra with Maisalach, with Shavarim, with Broken Shvarim, with Issa Shvarim, Yem Shvarim, with one Neshima, Bez Neshima, there's every possibility under the sun. But there's an Issa Derabbanan, every blowing that you're doing is an Issa Derabbanan. That wouldn't be right. Once you've already been Yaitse Mikra Adin, you shouldn't blow extra. So Moshe Sternbruch writes in a Sefer Modern Masvadim that apparently the Oilam, those in the Shivisha world, they do these kinds of things, and many of our communities have these kinds of things also. So Moshe Sternbruch writes that he thinks that was all lifted. It means, even according to the Machmirim, Kol Zman you're blowing for some constructive purpose, some reason whatsoever, it's no worse than the Mer Koilus. If you stop blowing, I know I was Yaitse and I'm blowing because I just like the sound, so then that's Machlokes Taz and others. But Kol Zman you're blowing for some kind of halachic reason, and anything under the sun of halachic reason, so then it's hard to say that that's also. How could that be more chumra than the mekos, which bechlala don't really accomplish anything up to the dins? That's what the oilam seems to be very mekel, that people blow extra koilas and extra things, extra chumras, actually do different people like to do those kinds of things, and we usually assume that that's not really a problem. But anyway, getting back to this story. So Tosis writes that for a woman to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because mamash and issa derabbanan, there's no need for the woman to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. It sounds a little bit like from this Tosis again too. Who's it sound like from this Tosis? Sounds a little bit against the Taz. The Taz says that they lifted the gezerah, so they left the gezerah for women. It means they lifted it for the men, left it for the women. According to the Taz, Rosh Hashanah was never bechlal the gezerah of blowing musical instruments vis-a-vis a shofar. It sounds a little bit from Tosfos that it's not true, that Kol Zman you're blowing for a real halachic need, a real tzorech, a minig or something, that's okay. When a woman blows, the Yidah says, that's mamish worthless, that's meaningless, but she's wasting her time blowing shofar, she's not chayevus. So that would be a violation of the Taz. So again, so we have Machlekes, almost three different Biurim in the Rishonim. What was Rabbi Yehuda's problem? I didn't say we follow Rabbi Yehuda, but what was Rabbi Yehuda's problem with a woman blowing shofar, with a woman doing smicha? So according to one version of Rashi, it was about Tosif Deraisa. According to the other version of Rashi, it was about Tosif Mechse Midirabbanan. And according to Tosfos, it's a unique problem that has no relevance outside of smicha and shofar. Of course, Tosfos' approach makes our sugya very, very simple to understand. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda tell Hilni HaMachat to get out of the sukkah? What's the answer? What's wrong with sitting in the sukkah? What's the big deal? Let her enjoy Geshmach. It's nice sitting with her seven sons. What's the big deal? It's not shofar, it's not smicha, everything is shofar. So truth to be told, that the sugya can't end at this point, because there are two other mitzvahs that Chazal also pick on, that Chazal relate to this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. What are the two other mitzvahs? One was Aliyah L'Regel. The other was what? And the other is Tefillin. So Gemara is the same. Is it appropriate for a woman to be Aliyah L'Regel or not? Is it appropriate for a woman to put on Tefillin or not? So the same Machlekes, the same two Tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, she can't go Aliyah L'Regel, can't put on Tefillin. Rabbi Yehuda says, guys, one day, let her do Aliyah L'Regel, let her put on Tefillin. They have no problems. So again, we're still within the world of Rebbe Yehuda. We haven't even begun to analyze Rebbe Yosi, who we have in the past. We're still recording to Rebbe Yehuda. What's the problem? Why can't a woman go Aliyah L'Regel? Why can't a woman put on tefillin? So she's p'tura, because it says Zechurcha, v'lo nashe. She's p'tura from tefillin because it's a Zman Grama. Why is it a Zman Grama? Why exactly is tefillin Zman Grama, by the way? So it's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So the Machlekes HaTanoim, whether you wear tefillin in a Torah at night or not. Everyone agrees L'maisa you don't wear tefillin at night. But half the Tanoim say you don't wear tefillin at night in a Torah, because it says B'yamim Yamim and Yom V'lo Leilos. And that's Rabbi Yosef Glui, and Rabbi Akiva says no. Yom Yamim is not even talking about tefillin. The reason why you don't wear tefillin at night is because why? What do you wear tefillin at night? So gezeir, you may fall asleep with them, and if you fall asleep with them, what will be the end of the world? Guf nachi issues. So therefore, midir rabban, they made a gezeir not to wear tefillin at night. So the mice, everybody knows, no one's shpatirin around, no one's walking around with tefillin on at night. The chalik is a tefillin, why is that? So the Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, that like Maseches Kedushin, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Laila is lav's man tefillin in a Torah, so it comes out that tefillin is a classic man grama, it's only by Yom Vlo Laila. But if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that tefillin is worn in a Torah at night, so then why is it Zman Grama? So what does the Gemara conclude? It's Zman Grama for a different reason. What's the different reason? Because you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos in Yom Tov. Even Rabbi Akiva, who says you do wear tefillin in a Torah at night, Rabbi Akiva says on Shabbos in Yom Tov for sure you don't wear tefillin. And why is that? What's the Gemara for that? That's the famous Gemara about Oast. Yatsu Shabbos Yom Tov, Shinatman Oast. Fine. So tefillin is a Zman Grama, so women of Pturos. Aliyah L'Regel is Zuchurcha, or Zman Grama, whatever the reasons are. Women of Pturos. So Kum to Gemara and says, oh, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, tell the women not to go Zayin Aliyah L'Regel, not to put on film. Why not? According to Rashi, everything's hunky dory. Either it's Baltoisev Derais, Baltoisev Derabanan. But according to Tosfos, that there's no Baltoisev Bechlal on the radar screen, what is the unique problem? Favosnet, why can't you go Aliyah L'Regel? So Tosfos back and forth and tries to figure out in Mahalach why, what's the problem with going Aliyah L'Regel. So Tosfos does the following. Tosfos in Erev in the fifth of Mamakomis. Tosfos writes, so maybe she's bringing a korban that she's not really chayevus to bring. When you do aliyah l'regel, you don't just stop shpatzir into the base of mikdash. You have to bring a series of korbanos. What do you have to bring? So to fulfill the mitzvah re'iyah properly, you have to bring an olus re'iyah. So you have to bring an olus re'iyah. And then in addition, what other korbanos do you bring on yontif? It says v'chagayis maser chag laHashem. Chag is a lashon of korban chagiga. So you have to bring shalmei chagiga, and then there's an additional mitzvah samachta b'chagecha to bring shalmei simcha. So each and every male on Shal Shvigolim is obligated to perform the mitzvah of coming to the Beis Hamikdash with the Noel Sariya, with the shalmei chagiga, with shalmei simcha. That's the whole picture of what's supposed to happen. Again. So when a woman shmatzias into the Beis Hamikdash on Yontif, she's not going to come reika. She's not going to be empty-handed. She's going to bring an Noel Sariya also. So we're nervous about that. We don't like that picture. We don't like that image of a woman coming to the Beis Hamikdash and bringing Olas Re'iyah. Why? Because she's not really chayevus to bring the Olas Re'iyah. And she's bringing a korban that she's not chayevus to bring. So in a certain sense, that korban is not really a korban. That korban is almost like chulin, because she wasn't supposed to bring it in the first place. She wasn't obligated to bring it. So that, and what's so terrible, so you're bringing chulin, and we don't like that. Bringing chulin, the azara, is an issur d'oraisa. Where does it say that in the Chumash? So the Torah says in Parashas Re'eh that when the Torah gives us the parasha of Shechitas Chulin, so the Torah begins by saying Ki Yirchach what? Ki Yirchach Mimcha Mokom. When you're far, far, far away from the Beis Hamikdash, then Nebuch, Nebuch, we have a right to Shecht Karbanos. So the Gemara in the Second Berakh Kedushin has a drasha Berichot Mokom Atazaveach Atazaveach Bekiruv Mokom. That you're only allowed to bring chulin, you don't have shech chulin if you're far away. If you live in Tel Aviv, you can shech chulin. If you live in Yerushalayim, if you're in the Azara, you have no right to shech chulin. So the Pasha Dvarim is that's an isidirais of Avos chulin the Azara. So Tosis writes, when the woman brings the Oilus Re'iyah that she's not really chayavis to bring, it smacks of chulin the Azara. Why is it smack of chulin the Azara? Because since she wasn't chayavis to bring it, so apparently it wasn't really Taifes B'Kedusha, so it's still chulin. So as chulin, that's a problem. Is that true? Is that really chulin be'azara? What did Taisa say? Taisa say it's mechse. Why isn't it real chulin be'azara? It's not the azar. The carbon's shechted in the azar. It's a carbon oila. All it is a carbon oila. You can bring an oila as a what? But neder the dav anyway. You can volunteer to bring a carbon oila. And let's say she brings a korban shlamim. Whoop de doo. You can volunteer to bring a korban shlamim also. If a person would say as follows, I come to the Rebbe Shlomo, I say, listen, I personally was not Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg yesterday. I wasn't Sach B'Shem Mishcha yesterday B'Shogeg, but I spoke Lashon Hara and I feel bad about it. I want to bring a korban to Mechaper. So I go ahead and Rebbe Shlomo, I'm going to bring a korban chattes that I'm not chayef to bring. So that's Chavos Chulin B'Azora. It's not toy face. You can't be Makdish a chattes. You can't just say, you take an animal and you say, Harezu l'chatos. That doesn't mean anything unless you're chayef to bring that chatos. So if you're makdish a chatos an animal is a chatas, but there's no chiyuv, pre-existing chiyuv, the hekdesh is not teif, it's not chal, so it's bleib the behemoth's chulin, so that's in the sederais of havas chulin le'azor, shech v'chulin be'azor. But that's only true by a chatas, by an osham, those kinds of kabbanas that you can't volunteer. In oyle and ishlam, you can volunteer them, so who cares when I'm chayiv, not chayiv, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. That's exactly what Tosis writes. You're right. It's not real chulin le'azor. It's mechse. It looks. It doesn't look nice. It looks a bit shvach. It looks a little bit. It's like a mechse kevayde b'koshim. It's not the real iser. It's mechse, not the real thing. Many people have a minug based on this din of chulin le'azor. Many people have a minug when they daven. They say karbanos in the morning. So when they get to different parts of Ezim Mekayim, so they say Yiratzon Ki'ilu Yikrafti Oila. Yiratzon Ki'ilu Yikrafti Shlomim. You want to give the crafty toida. When you get to the chatas part, what's the nesuch? Never know. You wrote on what? Who has a sitter? You wrote on she'im nischay. What's the sitter? It says, I'll scroll sitter. This state. They took it out. It didn't even happen. What? So many people have the minute saying, when they get to Oila, they say, Yiratzon Kili Krafti Oila. Yiratzon Kili Krafti Shlomim. When it comes to Chattas, they say, Yiratzon, what? Im Nischayafti Kili Krafti Chattas. Yiratzon Im Nischayafti Kili Krafti Osham. You don't say Kili, you don't say Yiratzon Kili Krafti, because it would be Chul Nazar. That's not a nice thing to say. So there are some who add on that phrase. There's a Machlek is a Poiskim Shulchan Aruch, when you get to Osham Toloi, but how you should phrase Hashem Toloi. Should you say he ratzon ki'ilu hikrafti Hashem Toloi? Or should you say he ratzon she'im nischayafti ki'ilu hikrafti Hashem Toloi? What's the shayla? Because it's machlokes ha-tanoim, whether you can volunteer to bring in Hashem Toloi. So some of the tanoim say, no, you volunteer to bring Hashem. It's like a korban chatas. You bring in Hashem Toloi when you're not sure that you did a korban chatas. So some tanoim say, the same way you can't volunteer to bring a korban chatas, you can't volunteer to say an Hashem Toloi. Therefore, the nusach should be ki ratzi ki lischayafti, im lischayafti. And other tanoim say, no, other maybe Hashem Toloi b'chol yoyim. Why? Because you see, the Torah tells you to bring in Hashem Toloi, even though between you and me, you don't even know you brought it to be the chait. You're not even sure you did a chait. And the Torah still says you're allowed to do it. So the bringing of Hashem Toloi is always like a shtickle nedv in a dava. It's not really addressing the chayt. You don't even know there's a 50-50 chance you never even did the chayt in the first place. So some of the time say that you can bring in Hashem Toloi no matter what. Any day, whenever you want to bring in Hashem Toloi, you can bring in Hashem Toloi. It's okay. It's not a problem. So getting back to our story. So when the woman brings a korban oila for a lila regal, even though she's not chayiv in a lila regal, she's chayiv in the oila, the whole thing is all unnecessary. But when she does it, I mean, a Torah it's not a problem. I mean, there are abundant smacks of a problem. What Taisa says, maybe there's another problem of doing a lila regel. What's the other problem? Taisa writes, "Mishum rias panim be'azar shlo tzarech." You're not supposed to shpatzir into the base of mikdash for no reason. So when she comes to do a lila regel, it's for no reason. To fulfill a lila regel, you have to come into the azar. You have to come into the base of mikdash proper. So she shpatzirs into the base of mikdash. What are you doing here? I came to volunteer a lila regel. You're not even supposed to be here. Since you're not mechuyavus to be, maybe it smacks of a problem. So Taisus can't pinpoint exactly what the problem is, but there's some kind of a problem, some kind of a derabbanan here, of either mechzei ke chulin be'azara, or some kind of a problem of riyasponim be'azara shalol tzayach. So far Taisus succeeded. They already. We already scored 75% on the test. They've already found what the unique problems are each of the mitzvahs. Smicha, we got one problem. Sure, if we got a problem, we got two problems. Where are we up to in Trillion?
What should
we match with
the
Olaf
be?
Would that even mean anything? I'm sure those words would mean it would still be an Olaf. Maybe it would still not be Chulin Be'azar. I don't know. Not sure. I don't know. So we're still looking for the fourth one. All we need is Trillion.
When you get to the same issues, that she's going to bring it voluntarily by Rias Pandazara Shalom Tzarech. I mean, why would that solve any issues that we have with Chulin Be'azara?
No, it's another problem. There are two different problems.
It's another problem, but we said that Chulin Be'azara shouldn't really be an issue either because she can bring a voluntary Ola. So she also can.
Right, I mean, it's not so bad. Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're looking at me. Tefillin, no? So what's the problem with Tefillin? Kufnaki, says Taisus. Kufnaki, that's it. That's the end of the problem, says Taisus. So that's the unique problem. So when all the dust settles, there's a fundamental machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos. What hesitations, what limitations is Rabbi Yehuda focusing on in the application to women? According to Rashi, it's some global about Tosef / Masik about Tosef that touches upon each and every tour that a woman has for mitzvahs. You have to look at everything under the microscope and figure out, is this about Tosef, not about Tosef, look at the Tosef, their ice, their bun, etc. According to Tosef, you learn the wrong stuff. You don't do about Tosef. You have to ask yourself, in each one of these unique four cases, is there some kind of a problem there abundant here, some kind of an issue there abundant, doesn't look right, some kind of a unique concern. But outside these four cases, everything else is fine. So what's the litmus test? What's the test case? Is there anything wrong with the woman sitting in the sukkah? So Taisa says, let's go through. There's no avodah b'kashim, no isidir rabbanan, no mechzeris, no gufnachi. Because on the eight, sit in the sukkah, all the women can sit in the sukkah, and Hilni Amalka, we welcome her to the sukkah with open arms. According to Rashi, not so fast. According to Rashi, the same hesitation we had by the four mitzvahs, we should hesitate by sukkah also, and you have to bend over backwards to show you a heter. So depending on what you thought the issa was, it's going to depend on the degree of heter. Either it's a derabban, deraisa, that's the sort of taisa. So at the end of the day, Rashi and taisa have two very, very different approaches. Even within Rashi, there are two nuanced approaches, two very, very different issues involved. So up until now, we've been focusing on any potential issa of Hilni Amalka is part of the general sugya of women volunteering mitzvahs. But now, for mitzvah tomorrow, we have to move on to the next question. Namely, maybe there is some kind of a problem here in sukkah. You know, Tosfos said, "Yeah, there's no problem. Sukkah is everything's hunky dory. Everything's great." Not so simple. Maybe there's a fifth mitzvah we should add to this list. Maybe sukkah should also be on the list of mitzvahs that we should avoid women doing. For what reason? The reasons on the board don't apply. Maybe some other reason lurking in the back. We'll hope tomorrow we'll have to go back to the mitzvah of sukkah and find some sukkah reason that may or may not be relevant for preventing women from doing mitzvahs.